Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 489, Ramblings of the Third Kind, recorded live on June 4th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are here going to talk about some random topics tonight. There's nothing really set on the agenda, although there's some stuff I want to talk about. But we have Haas and Godzilla in the hot seats tonight. Hey guys.
Hey, how's it going tonight, Dust?
What up?
What up?
You know, like I haven't talked to you all day long.
I know, right? Staff chat, you know. All that good Skype goodness.
Yeah, I wasn't there all day today.
No, you were out power washing some piece of equipment.
Yeah.
For like how long? 12 hours?
Today it was only 6.
Oh, gotcha. I see. Tonight we're going to be doing things a little bit different. There's been some stuff in Hunt the Truth that I think we should really dive into, or it'd be a good discussion point. And a couple of things, more specifically for the later episodes, like the last two or three that have come up, I think it's something that we could kind of explore or dive into a little bit, because for all the Hunt the Truth episodes that we've done so far, we've really just done a quick analysis of everything. And I think there's some stuff that we could really dive into and get some good discussion going on with. And what is going on with the freaking emotes in the chat room? What the heck? You guys are going nuts in there. Wow. Okay. For those of you not listening to us live, there's been lots of faces posted in the last minute or so.
Wow, Haas.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Pharaoh and her agenda, and we'll talk about kind of the insurrectionist and its revival, where that's going. Maybe Del Rio, if we get on that kind of tangent or whatnot.
Do we really want to be on that kind of tangent?
No, but... Okay, Haas, you can stop. That's a little much. Just leave it with the what face, and that's fine. Wow. Okay. So aside from that massive tangent, first thing I want to talk about is Sapient Sunrise. Wow. Okay. Yeah, Sapient Sunrise and this new kind of terror group that's out there. Going back to the books, we know that the insurrectionist is something that's plays a big part in Halo's past. And one of the things that we've learned through Hunt the Truth is how much the Outer Colonies really disliked Oni for everything that they tried to do, like Oni controlling them and just completely abusing use out of them, using them more for utility and then discarding them whenever Covenant came and glassed them, completely just backing out. So I know that there's a lot of turbulence between the Outer Colonies and the Inner Colonies, but it's interesting to see this group rise up out of the wake of the Human Covenant War, and it seems like they're kind of fighting on two fronts in a way, where you have the insurrectionists and you have the other colonies that want to still be independent of Oni and the Inner Colonies and the UEG, and then you have this Sapient Sunrise group that wants to remain completely independent of aliens. And one of the interesting things that I thought came up in the podcast was saying that we won the war when we really didn't win the war. How that plays inside the universe, I think, is a good question. And I don't know what you guys think of it, but one of the things I thought whenever Sapient Sunrise was brought up and seeing the posters that came out over the past couple of days was that we won the war and we could prevent a second covenant. Well, the Covenant basically dissolved on its own after they figured out that the prophets were just huge liars and the Great Journey was completely false. And that was the whole story of the Arbiter really discovering that in Halo 2. And then the Arbiter and the groups of elites that were loyal to him joined up with the humans to save the galaxy. So there's this weird kind of dichotomy now where you have the peace talks that was going on with Sekebo and the elites, which is now not going to be happening because he's dead. But there really is kind of a camaraderie there. And while there's still some growing pains from that, because, I mean, you had a war for a few years with an alien race, it's not going to be something where you just instantly back down.
Well, more like a few decades.
Well, no, it wasn't that long.
The war was 30 years. The Human Covenant War.
Yeah. Was it really that long?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe so.
I thought it may have been like 15 or 16 years or something.
I'm going to gang up here and say yes.
Thanks. So when did the Contact Harvest take place? I thought that was... Oh, no, that was 2517, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's right. So, yeah, 35 years. I take that back. I did my math, or I didn't even think about my math. So, yeah, 35 years. You are very much correct. Even that, though, that's... I mean, take that as a long war. I mean, our longest world war, I mean, it's 3 or 4 times longer than that. So, of course, there's going to be some growing pains there. But you would think with how... the Covenant is, or what's left over of the Covenant that's interacting with the humans, is really trying to build this rapport with humans to actually coexist and be beneficial to one another, that you have this terror organization that just sprouts out of nowhere and is now, in a sense, it only using it to frame Chief. So it's this weird dichotomy that's going on. And I just wonder how much inside the universe do people know of that, because for the outer colonies, there's a lot of them that did deals with the Covenant because that was just one way for them to survive. And in some cases, the Covenant didn't blast them to smithereens, or some cases, they got along just fine. So just to have this group pop out of nowhere seems just a little extreme. And I wonder why.
I don't really think the group really popped out of nowhere. I think it's something more like with Julum Dama. You know, he's the same type of group, except for he's anti-human, you know, on the Covenant side. So it's not necessarily just a group that just popped up out of nowhere. It's just people that have that same feeling that, you know, they don't trust the Covenant. You know, and after 30 years of fighting them, I can see why. So, yeah, it does seem like it jumped out, or the Sapient Sunrise, you know, just came out of nowhere. But I can see how it can just pop up. Now, as far as how much, you know, they know inside the universe, it's kind of hard to tell because they don't really point us in any good directions.
Yeah.
They know what Ben has told them, but we don't know what else, you know, that there is out there.
Well, how much of Lord Hood's dealing with the Arbiter and all that stuff? Because I would assume his campaign was more public knowledge than what Oni was doing.
You know, what I've gathered from the books, you know, and this is just the books since the end of Halo 4, it doesn't sound like the peace talks between Lord Hood and the Arbiter have been real public. Because the first time Lord Hood goes to Sanghelios, he's got Kilo 5 there protecting him. There's no film crew. There's nothing. It's just him, the Arbiter, a couple of the Arbiter's aides, and, you know, was 2-3 members of Kilo 5. So I think they still are trying to keep the peace talks on the down low. You know, they want to get this agreement nailed down before they, you know, go completely public with it, you know, so that the general public can say, okay, the war is over. Of course, we don't know at the point of a hunt of truth, we don't know how far along those peace talks are from, you know, the last we heard of them in the Kilo 5 trilogy.
Building off of that, it'll be interesting to see how the response that we'll get from Chief and the elites from this point on, because we saw that Chief did go and try to rescue the peace talk. And essentially, the rapport that, I guess, those Sangheili and Master Chief and like that kind of group is something that is meant to be, or that it's something that they want, but it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the humanity wants to accept them. And Sapient Sunrise obviously is leading the charge against that, but I wonder how much of the outer colonies is actually on board with that or completely against it. Granted, they got hit with the most damage from the glassing, but with Ben's podcast going out there now, what's to say that they actually are kind of understanding? And I guess it's hard to just conceptualize knowing everything that happened in the games with Master Chief and with figuring out that it was the prophets that were really running the show, how that universe actually doesn't exist the way we think it does. And that's hard to come to grips with.
We see it from a different point of view. We see it from more like a history book point of view where, you know, in the universe, you don't get all this information. The general public knows that Master Chief has saved the universe multiple times, but they don't know how. They don't know that the Arbiter stood beside the Chief and helped him stop the Ark from firing the halos. It's just not general knowledge.
Right.
And as far as on the outer colonies, as hard as the Covenant hit them, I would say the bulk of the outer colonies absolutely hate the Covenant. Or we should say the elites, since the Covenant really is no more, but, you know, the elites, jackals and stuff. But, you know, they don't want anything to do with them.
Can't really blame them, though. I mean, helped them win the war, but that doesn't mean we're friends.
Right, the outer colonies don't know that, though.
It's like the Americans and the Russians in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right afterwards, we're at odds.
Yeah.
So the big question for me would be, how is that information going to trickle out? If it even does trickle out, is that something where Chief is going to end up vouching for the Arbiter and his crew? Because for the most part, it sounds like a good majority of the UNSC, or at least higher up in UNSC, know of the elites helping out or helping us out when push came to shove and actually taking out Truth and preventing the rings from firing. It seems like a good portion of the UNSC knows that. Granted, the public doesn't. So with Oni seemingly trying to suppress that, do you think that's something that would get out eventually with this Hunt the Truth? Or is it something where Chief can't really show his support now for the Sangheili because of how that leak happened. And that's another topic I want to get to, is that leak actually came out in a more damning way. And it almost kind of served its purpose, I think, against Chief more than Ben is thinking. And honestly, even though Pharaoh said that it'll hurt Chief in the short run, but in the long run, he'll be vindicated, I don't know if that's the case anymore because of how much of a stigmatism there is.
It all depends on what else Pharaoh decides to leak out.
But you have to account for what she leaked out and then how people respond. Because now they see the Chief as aiding the Covenant. And with the Sapient Sunrise out there, I don't know if that's something she didn't anticipate, because she can't control every facet of it. With Sapient Sunrise, though, if this is something that is going to eventually leak out into the rest of the other colonies, then you're going to have a massive uprising against the Chief that will last for a good while. And then there's support for Del Rio on how we need to get rid of the old Spartan 2s because they're defective, and look at they're helping aliens instead of helping humans.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder if... did we ever get confirmation that Pharaoh is a leader of a different group? Like, they actually said the name of the group she's ahead of?
No, she just... No. She said with us. Like, years
all we ago. Know is Pharaoh.
I wonder if she's part of Sapient Sunrise.
No, I don't think she is.
I don't think so.
There's no real evidence to suggest that. And the fact that she says that Chief will be vindicated eventually seems like she knows the truth of what's going on. So why would she lead a terrorist organization to not integrate or not accept the aliens? Because in essence, they really did help us.
Yeah.
The Arbiter and his crew went against the Covenant, went against the prophets to stop the Prophet of Truth and stop them from firing. That's just the truth of the matter. And that's something I would hope wouldn't be hidden forever and would come out into the shadow, or come out of the shadows into the light. And maybe that's something where we could coexist with them later on. But there's just so many efforts within humanity to make an outward, because Oni, Kilo 5, that was one of their goals, was to stir up dissidents between the Sangheili clans and make that civil war go on. And now you have the Sapient Sunrise, which is going to pit humanity against them. So it's all about human superiority right now, is what it seems like.
Yeah.
What if, and they brought this point up in the books, what if a faction of St. Helios, the elites, is doing the same thing to us as Oni's doing to them?
Hmm.
So it's interesting basically, to think about that, because the elites were so used to prophets being the upper management and doing the intel work, where there's, I don't remember exactly which book it in, but I remember several references to them having to rebuild and readapt to some of the things that they weren't used to doing anymore, like farming, just basic stuff, farming, growing crops, taking, like doing arts and stuff, like, because they were a warrior class. That was what the prophets used them. And then the prophets supplied them with everything that they needed. So they're having to go back and relearn some of the other stuff that they used to do, which they haven't been doing. So to say that there's an intel group, I can believe there is one, but I just don't think it would be quite as fleshed out as Oni, because humanity has that stigmatism of everyone's out to get us. Let's be the top dogs and make sure that
true. But you have the groups. You have groups like Julum Dama's group, and while Julum Dama was captive, he studied how humans interacted with him and each other, and he learned how to be devious, as he puts it. So, you know, it's not too, it's just, to me, it's not too far of a stretch to see either his group or another group like that coming up with the same idea. And I kind of point towards Jule, because he knows what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he knows that the humans were supplying weapons to, what's the name of the group? I can't think of the name of the group.
I can't remember either.
I don't remember either.
The monks. Brain fart. But anyway.
I know you're talking about. I just don't.
Yeah. Jule knows that humans, he doesn't know Oni's doing it, but humans are feeding. No, I guess. Yeah, actually, he does know. He knows Oni is feeding weapons to support the Covenant or the Elite Rebellion against the Arbiter. So what's to really stop him from doing the same thing himself?
Put up an interesting point. I honestly don't know. That's a very good point. I would add to that is Jule is kind of off doing his own thing, where it seems like Oni is still more integrated with human military, where Jule and his clan is kind of outcast to the main group. But I guess that would be, kind of like Sapient Sunrise then.
Yeah,
I guess that's possible. Like, yeah. You make a good case, sir.
It's kind of boggling my mind, though, now. Like, I didn't think about that.
So there's just a lot of different questions that come up, and that's one of the things that... where does that lead? Because I didn't think about it that way, and you make a very interesting point, Godzilla, how what we're seeing with Sapient Sunrise is we've already seen before with Jule. Where does that goes from here, I really don't know. But that's those questions that pop up from this Hunt the Truth, where it's like, how do you dive into this? And we would need someone else that probably knows the lore on a more grandiose scale. Heck, we'd probably have to get Grim Brother One on for something like this. But it's something where you just grow so much in the fiction of the universe. You have to account for all these random questions that pop up, because the last episode generated a lot more questions for me, and just my mind was buzzing for an hour of different possibilities of what is Pharaoh's true purpose, and where did Sapient Sunrise come from? How much of an influence do they have? What's this mysterious place that Mashaka's going to end up going to in the next episode? And how is the chief's image actually impacted on the public scale, because now he's associated with the aliens and that he's helping them and not really helping humanity, when he's actually innocent like we thought from the beginning and we know the truth? How do we think the truth is going to get out to the public and all that stuff?
Well, I think that's still part of Ben's job. I still think Ben will be instrumental in getting the truth out there about Chief.
To the outer colony, sure.
I think he might even get it to the inner colonies and Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Pharaoh character, whoever she may be, I think she may have quite the reach.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's pretty
well. She's definitely got resources.
Yeah, she's got the resources, and I totally see Pharaoh getting everybody informed, because I don't think they're going to go into Halo 5 with Master Chief as a murderer, so to speak.
So could we see this as something where Locke is representing Oni and the UEG, and Master Chief is representing humanity as a whole, which in turn would be the outer colonies?
I don't know. I feel like this whole thing, this how this all started, you know, with Master Chief pointing the gun at Locke and Locke pointing the gun at Chief and their monologues, I think this all wraps up at E3. I just don't see it moving forward past that. Like, I feel like the truth will come out, and it is what it is. Now Locke as being a hunter, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we got to look at it like this too. We haven't seen anything from Locke at all so far. The only thing we've been seeing is we've been seeing Chief supposedly killing innocent people, which granted we know that's not true now, but like, we're seeing titles of Chief. We haven't seen anything about Locke at all. I mean, granted, he's going to be secret. You know, that's what Oni's going to send him out to do. But we haven't seen any sort of anything on him at all, apart from that trailer.
Well, we have the Hunt the Signal thing, too. You know, that was supposedly Jameson Locke doing the research. But I understand what you mean. He hasn't been brought up in the Hunt the Truth campaign just yet.
What if Locke kills Ben?
I don't think that would be the case, though. I mean, like, he's up on Oni's list of getting rid of. Like, that's probably a given right about now. But I don't think Locke's mission is to get rid of other targets. I think his main mission is to track down Chief and get him out of the way first. I don't think that he would have anything to do with Ben just yet.
What is he getting Chief out of the way for, though? Being
we don't one know. Of
the few remaining Spartan 2s?
Well, look at what Del Rio just said.
Yeah.
Chief's got a piece of information.
So, okay, forgive me. Del Rio's now Oni, or is he still UNSC representative?
He's a UNSC he's a senator.
Okay.
So he's actually not part of the military anymore.
Hmm.
Which from, you know, the way they kind of worded it in Halo 4, Del Rio was kind of basically shown the door after leaving Master Chief on Requiem.
Gotcha. I don't know. It just, I don't know how they could continue this all the way up to Halo 5. Like, if you're going to continue this up to Halo 5, this doesn't end at E3. But this goes until E3.
Right, we know this
so
ends at
are
E3.
They going to... So I just... I don't know. I don't know.
The big question for me is how is it going to actually... And we have 2 episodes. We don't know how much information, because there's been a few episodes where we've gotten a bucket load of information, which didn't even seem possible at the time. The thing with seeing how that really reacts in the universe is going to be the interesting thing, and how this wraps up is going to indicate or set the ground level for what we'll see at E3, and hopefully what we see at E3 will set the stage for Halo 5. What is the current state that we're going to see at the beginning of Halo 5? What's the state of the outer colonies? What's the state? I would assume that this Sapient Sunrise thing won't be as prevalent in the game. I think this is just something to add external fiction and maybe set up stuff for further books or the TV show or whatever in there. And then we have the main part of it be Locke and Chief, and Locke be Oni and Chief be. And I still think the Librarian and the Foreigners have something to play with what Chief is doing right now.
It wouldn't surprise me if there wouldn't. I mean, I'm sure there's something Forerunner in there that's going to be in Halo 5. That's without a doubt. But it just makes me wonder what it is. Like, what's... Because, like, if Chief's going out of his way to get all this crazy stuff done, it's like, he's more on a mission than he's ever been before. He's doing different things. And he has a team with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's really, I mean, he's never really had a team before. Like, yeah, sure, he's worked with other Marines, and he's kind of been like the lone wolf type deal the entire time we've played as him throughout Halo's 1 through 4. Like, he's always been his own person doing his own thing. And like, it's going to be interesting to see how a team will change how he works.
I'm excited to see team dynamic. Based on what we've seen for the images, I think it's safe to assume that what we'll see is something similar to Reach, where you are playing with a fire team the whole freaking time, or at least the majority of it.
It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, I mean, I hope they change it up though. Like, I mean, we've played with a team before, but like, it'd be interesting to see if they kind of have, like, I don't really know how to go with it. Like, just make it a little bit more interactive, if that makes any sense. I have no idea. Like, it'd be. Like Reach was pretty cool, you know, but it was the same laid out stuff. Every time you played it over and over and over again, it was always the same deal. So it'd be interesting to see, like, if there would be things that would change in every mission, if that makes any sense. I don't know.
Kind of like in New Alexandria, where your objective shifted.
Yeah.
I know it was a preset pattern, but your objectives would shift every time you played it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it wouldn't be the exact same layout over and over and over again. I mean, that mixes things up, especially for speedrunners. I mean, you're going to be putting a little bit of RNG in there, but it'd be interesting to see what they could do with that. Especially, like, if there's a team with this, I mean, we haven't really, well, two teams, if we're going to be honest. Like, if we're able to play as Locke, we have two teams. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen that before. I mean, even with Arbiter, he was doing his own thing.
Well, it's going to be a mix, basically, between Halo 2 and Halo Reach, where you are going back and forth, or at least that's what we've been told, between Locke and Chief, and then you have your fire team. So mix those two together, and that's what you're going to get, which I'm kind of excited to see where this is going. And I do hope they implement some new, I guess, quest system is something comparable to, say, but something where your objectives aren't as quite linear, but there's certain objectives that you need to do, and they can be done in a different order kind of thing. And make it to where maybe the objectives aren't quite as clear, and that you actually need to dig a little bit to figure out where you need to go.
I mean, we're going on a tangent, but like, we've had the same type of mission on, not the same mission, but we've always had the same thing throughout every Halo game. I would think by now having a little bit of evolvement would help a little bit, like just evolve it a little bit. Like I said before, like have the objectives, you know, change course or just have things a little bit more mixed up. Like, I think that would make more of a interesting story, to be honest. Like, you'd be like, oh, well, especially like if for speedrunners, they're going to do the same thing over and over again. Like, it'd be interesting to see how fast they could do something while it being changed every mission. So it'd be different. You know, it'd definitely be a challenge, but I think it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that. I think really if they did that, it would hurt the speedrunning community.
I mean, it would, but I'm not saying to completely have it.
There's a couple of reasons. One, if you have random objectives,
mm-hmm.
some objectives can take longer than others.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, we already saw a little bit in Halo Reach with New Alexandria.
Yeah, but the three main objectives were always the same. It was just a matter of which order they came in as far as that. But, you know, your in-between objective is what changed. But usually it wasn't a huge shift in your gameplay. You know, instead of flying over here, you flew over there to destroy the turret or to rescue the Marines. Or, you know, each of the intermediate objectives were all about, they took all about the same amount of time.
So, right. I'm not really saying random objectives. I'm more saying, like, have objectives out there which can be done differently or applied differently given certain situation or whatnot.
I'm thinking, yeah, I like the idea of having the different objectives in there, but make them optional objectives.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. It's,
you know, give the speedrunners the linear path. get from point A to point B as fast as I can. But then for there the would people,
be no point to include the
well, no
optional
for objectives. the people that really want the random objectives or the optional objectives will go look for them. And I mean, you know, make an achievement out of them or something like that. You know,
okay,
encourage that could work. encourage people to go find them. So you still have a campaign mission that the speedrunners can speedrun, and the people that really want to dig around in the level and see a lot of variety go look at these other objectives. You know, once you show them that there's other objectives and you make them random, people will start searching those out to, you know, see what the new objective is. But then again, that's a limited lifespan.
Yeah.
Unless 343 updates the objectives weekly, you know, like a weekly bounty or something like that. You know, after you've played the mission a few times, it's like after you've played New Alexandria five times, you've seen most of the configurations.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen all the options when it comes to the three main missions, and I'm pretty sure you've seen all the side objectives as well. So then you're right back to the same thing as you were before, of having just a regular linear story.
Right.
Pins made a good comparison, saying, wouldn't mind side quests like an Assassin's Creed or Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be pretty interesting.
I would hate that in a main Halo game. Like, mm-hmm. in a spinoff, like, for the main games, stick to the formula. You know, throw a few wrinkles in, but I think for that, you have to go open world. And I don't think the main Halo games need an open world. I'm sorry. It just doesn't fit.
Yeah. I really do love Halo's linear progression through the campaign. You go from here to here. You kill this guy, you kill this guy, you kill this guy, levels over.
I'm fine with 2 to 3 paths to get to each objective, but
yeah,
not, oh, by the way, if you go to the southeast corner, you can kill 100 grunts that are holding up a base. I don't mm-hmm. care. Like, if that's well, my one objective, fine.
Yeah, in a Halo game, it'd have to add something to the story.
For me, it's something along the lines of the Halo games for the last, I guess Halo 1 wasn't quite as this way, but for the rest of the Halo games, there was a known linear path. And mm-hmm. I just would like to see, you have that linear path there, like after you've played the campaign, it's like you know where to go. But I would like to see a little bit more, you need to discover a little bit more, and it's actually a little more rewarding when you figure out, okay, this is where you need to go. And I think maybe implementing those side quests would be like the clues that you could find that would actually get you there. But if you know the game, you know exactly where to go. Like, you're supposed to be doing a certain objective. You may not exactly know where it is, but it could be in a couple of these places where you find clues to where it is. But if you know where you're going, then you just go straight there and the game progresses. So you have that linear fashion, but you have these side roads of discovery. And I don't know, maybe that wouldn't work for Halo. I think that'd be an interesting concept to look at.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't see that being real popular in a Halo game.
I don't either.
And fair point. It very well might not be.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see it change too much, but I would like to see somewhat of a change. That's not the exact same thing we've been getting every single game. Put a little bit of spin on it. Not have it to where it's open world. I mean, like, granted, I like the open world on CE. Like, I like that, but I don't want
CE wasn't an open world. It was linear.
Well, no. I mean, but you still were able to go to different places. You could go around a whole island at one point. You know what I mean? Like, that was pretty cool, but
it had that giant feeling of you were actually discovering where you were going. I know what you're getting at, Bio.
Yeah. Like, see, I want to see something bigger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. I don't like the fact that you have one straight shot and that's where you're going to go. Like,
Halo
I would
4
like,
felt very linear.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Well,
and Cairo Station was...
Well, so is Pillar of Autumn.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
And Sierra 117.
Yeah. There are I get what you mean. You want to have something where you have to kind of look around a little bit to get to your next objective, which that's fine.
Right. I don't want to be spoon fed.
Yeah. As long as it's not something that I got to go solve for clues to figure out what the heck I need to do.
Right.
Well, right. But it needs to give you the sense of you're actually going and discovering where you need to go. And maybe that's something where you just need a little bit bigger environments with multiple ways to get there. And that might just be it, because Halo and Halo 1, you have quite like on the few of the campaign levels, you have different paths to get to your objective, especially Assault on the Control or no, the Silent Cartographer.
Not really.
Yeah, you could go through.
Well, you can go right or left. You know,
but I mean, you still had that sense. I mean, but you could.
Yes, you did have a sense that you had more choice, but the really to get to the actual objective, they funnel you down into a very narrow path.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
but like, there's only one way of, to. Did you still have the sense of that you still had to kind of go somewhere to figure out what you needed to do? Because all you know that when you get there is that you're looking for this control room. That's all you know. You're not given, okay, we're doing this, then this, then this, then this, then this. No, you're given, like, this is going to be your objective. And once you clear the beach, you head out. Mm-hmm. And you really don't know what you're doing. That's the sense of, like, okay, I'm actually trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. Yeah, you have a couple of paths to get there, but you don't exactly know what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what I was addressing is having the multiple paths to the objective. The way they constructed Silent Cartographer, it does seem that way. But it really, it's an illusion.
It
there's, is. You know, there's only one way to get to where you need to be. Now,
kind of two. Know,
you're, well, no.
I think of. Yeah, because you can either.
You can go around the left side of the island or you can go around the right side of the island.
But you go to the right, then you go down, then the doors lock, and then you come back up and then go find the security override, or you can go to the security override first and skip that other piece. Mm-hmm. So really there's multiple paths in that.
You can choose which path you can. Well, you take the same physical path, but you can do them in separate orders, different orders. You know, in one order you see one door twice. The other order, you only see each door once.
But the thing is, when you're initially doing that, though, you're given that choice, and you don't know which choice is going to end up doing what until you've actually played through the game multiple times. So it's that initial like mystery or detective feeling that I'm looking for. It's like after I've played the campaign, yeah, I know exactly where I need to go and what the quickest route's going to be. Sure. I just feel that for something like the Silent Cartographer, you really, once you landed and once you cleared that beach, all you knew is that you're going to be searching the island for something. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That mystery of, okay, I'm actually trying to figure out what I am going to do next. And Halo hasn't had that in a while.
I didn't feel that way with the Warthog, you know, dropping in, pointed in one direction. That pretty much to me says, go that way.
It does, but you don't know why you're going that way. You're still trying to figure that out. Yeah,
they give you the clues to get you going the right direction. And I understand what you're saying, Dust. You don't want the objective just staring you in the face. You want to have to go look for it a little bit.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to have to solve a murder mystery to find it, but you do want to have to look around a little bit. I understand that. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy that as well, as long as it's not, you know, some big cipher that I got to figure out to try to finish the level. I don't mind looking around a lot. You know, I don't mind looking around. I just don't want to have to spend hours trying to find the objective.
Right.
And that's fine. But I think that's where, if you could implement something like those additional objectives that would at least kind of clue you in on where you need to go, I think that's something that could be interesting to try in Halo. Granted, if you know where you need to go, like say you're going to be doing this, and maybe that is too much open world, and that maybe that wouldn't work for Halo. I'm just thinking something out there that changes up the monotony of a rail shooter that Halo has become, because Halo 1 didn't feel quite as much of a rail shooter as Halo 4 did. Halo 4 was like, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're being forced here, forced here, forced here. And it didn't feel like you... Honestly, in Halo CE, it felt like I was playing along with the story and I was helping drive the story. Whereas in Halo 4, I was just along for the ride.
I put it like this. The world that we're on is massive. Why is it that we only have one spot we have to go? I mean, granted, I get that. You know, I do. Like, you get the objective that way. It's not a long campaign mission. But honestly, I feel that that one short route could be expanded a little bit. Like, you don't have to sit there and have it, like, have multiple different... I mean, look what speedrunners do. They can go out completely outside the map and cut across different things. You know what I mean? Like, have a different route, not just have the same exact one over and over and over again.
Yeah, I would like to have something like on the level of like in ODST when you're moving from clue to clue. You're kind of moving. You have a waypoint and you're moving towards that waypoint, but there's no limit to how you get there. You know, in the unlocked area, you can take any one of the number of streets to get to your objective. So it makes it feel a lot more open and less linear that way. I mean, yes, you're going to, you know, from point A to point B, but it's not like you're just walking down a great big long hallway.
Right.
Which Halo 4, I will admit, that's what it felt like. It felt like I was just constantly walking down a hallway.
Right.
God had rocks and trees in it, but there were sides. You know, I had a left side, I had a right side. You stayed between the walls and you followed the path. Halo, right. You know, Halo 3 did feel a lot more open than Halo 4, but it didn't feel as open as CE. Halo 2, I honestly can't say that I've ever thought of it because, you know, I've run through Halo 2 so many times that, you know, now I'm taking the most direct path. I haven't really explored Halo 2 in a long time, so I really can't have an opinion on that.
Halo 2 seemed more... and. Thinking about this too, it could just be the storytelling for the past Halo games that was just a lot better than Halo 4, and maybe that's why it just feels so different and why the previous games were a lot better. But for Halo 2, I still felt you were exploring characters, but you still had the environments, I guess, were grandiose enough to where it felt like you were still trying to figure out where you needed to go.
Yeah, you definitely.
It could just be the size. It should just be the size of the levels. Because, and I mean, the play spaces in Halo 4, while you had these beautiful skyboxes and kind of like just graphically the levels looked awesome, you had a lot of narrow corridors and places you could actually go. Where in Halo 1 and Halo 2, you had these big open spaces where you could go to different places. And it seemed like, I mean, from Halo 1 to Halo 2 to Halo 3, it seemed like that was more confined because they were telling a specific story. But I just feel like there's got to be a way for them to bring back that feeling of you're actually helping build the story while you're still, you're just experiencing a story that they want you to experience. You're actually helping build that story as you go along. And since Halo 1 and 2, I just feel like it hasn't done that.
Be interesting to see what they actually wind up doing. All I know is I can't wait till October.
Right?
I want my Halo 5.
Yeah, so do
I. 4.5 months.
Yep.
It doesn't seem... I mean, once you say 4.5 months, it doesn't seem that doesn't far away, but long. It feels like forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at my savings account and thinking, it's 2 months till RTX.
Yep. Well, you got to look at it like that too. It's that's nuts. So you go to RTX. We're going to RTX. You have 2 months after that. Well, you got how many days till PAX after that? 24, 25 days after that. Then you have basically you leap into September and that, and you have a month away basically. I mean, well, granted, 27, so it's kind of two months, but like, yeah. It's moving. Like, time's flying right now. And the fact that we're, like, it just honestly makes me wonder how much we're actually going to get at E3. Because, like, it is getting close.
I got 7 paychecks till Halo 5. Mm. And 4 paychecks till RTX. Somebody needs to get off his butt and get some money stacked away.
Yeah, there's... a lot going on, and we have a big announcement for that coming this weekend, by the way. If you're listening to this, it probably just came out, but we have a big, big announcement. So just want to throw that in there real quick.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But tangent aside, I think for the campaign for Halo 5, it seems like they're already building something that we're going to be interested in story-wise. We have the lock team versus blue team, and that's something that everyone, I believe, is looking forward to, especially with how Hunt the Truth has gone. We're getting a well-established foundation of what the story is going to be building towards or leading towards afterwards. I think with these last two episodes and then whatever they show off at E3 is really going to set the stage for this is where Halo is going, and really expand upon really that multifaceted aspect of the universe and trying to rope it all together. So you have the other Spartan too. So you have blue team back in there. You have Oni's reaction to Halsey. I feel like Halsey's going to be in there with the Janus key, and everything from Escalation is going to eventually tie into this as well. Then you have the TV show, which may or may not start before the game, and that'll probably tie in. So you have all these different facets of Halo that have been building up for the past 2 years, culminating into this experience. At least that's what it feels like is going to happen. And that gets me excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Bio.
No, I was just going to say, it makes me, like, we have so many story ends that were in Halo 4, like, so many loose ties. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how they all kind of bring that all back together in Halo 5. Like, if they do. Like, if they concentrate on just one direct story, or they bring in multiple different characters from different things. Like, it's, they have a huge, huge story for Halo 5. I'm just hoping that it's lengthy. Like, we have more than just 8 to 10 missions in the campaign.
I hope so.
If they put the same amount of effort in the Halo 5 story as they've put in Hunt the Truth, oh my God. It will be awesome, because I love the Hunt the Truth campaign. I love the depth of the story. I don't like some of the choices that were made in it, Mishak. But anyway, it's, you know, they take the one fun character and go away with, he goes away. But it just makes me really look forward to the campaign story of Halo 5 with the amount of thought they've put in Hunt the Truth.
Well, I mean, that's just it right there. It's like, if they put that amount of time for an audio series or a podcast, it's like, you know, they could put a ton of thought, like a lot of stuff into the campaign. Like, the amount of information that they probably have is probably ridiculous.
Yeah, they created the game. They have all the information.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I just had a random thought. Okay, we've got two more episodes, we think.
We're pretty sure.
Right?
We're pretty sure, yeah.
Okay. What if the final episode, and this is just kind of this is a real random thought. Ben hacks the Xbox press briefing.
Ooh.
That'd be interesting.
That would be cool.
Or Pharaoh does.
Wow.
Well, yeah, with Pharaoh's help. But yes. Yeah. To, you know, have them on stage, you know, talking about just, you know, random games, Fallout 4, whatever, you know, whatever new game they're looking to push other than Halo. And have, you know, because they usually have the big Xbox logo or something behind them on a big TV, have been cut in on that screen and start talking to the audience.
So I think that'd be in order for them to do sick. It that way, they would have to cut in during the Halo 5 presentation, because they're not just, or it would have to be like in transition, and then
yeah,
Phil would have to be talking about something.
Yeah. As they, you know, as they're switching, you know, you bring the game developer out, they talk about their game, you get the little bit of dialogue between game A and game B, and during that intermission between game A and game B, Ben cuts in over the big screen.
If this happens and you call this, I'm going to freak out. That'd be like that. That's genius.
That'd be so awesome.
That makes me really chills. Feel like I'm going to hate not being there.
That would give me chills. Like, if that were to happen, I would instantly probably pee my pants.
Yeah.
Just in case, for all you people that are going to watch it live on Twitch or Xbox.com, if you hear this loud squealing noise, it's dust.
Yeah, that's not audio like interference.
That's not feedback. Means. That's just
that's not
dust.
Feedback. It's just dust.
I would imagine half the audience would fall over.
Oh, absolutely.
If they did that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a couple Halo community members in there. I'm sure. Like, there usually are. I can imagine not only their excitement, but the people that just know what Halo is. Like, they're not the dedicated fans. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure they would freak out, too. Like, I mean, you got to look at it like this, too. You have hundreds of thousands of people watching this at home. I can imagine what they're going to be doing. Like, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be in the same situation I've been for the last couple of years. I mean, they get in a party, you know, they watch the briefing together as like through live, let it be Xbox Live, Twitch, whatever it is they're watching it through. They talk about it and like they experience it together. Can you imagine that? Like, people would freak out.
It's just something that popped
in. I just think it's Cortana.
Such a killjoy.
She's going to walk across stage, right?
No, I think it like they're going to do something that isn't Halo. Like, you're going to think that they're coming out with some other IP, but then it's going to like get hacked, kind of like these Ford commercials and the Xbox ad. Think of it kind of in like that. And then bam, Cortana's face like takes over the screen and goes on a monologue, kind of like you were saying, and reveals the truth. And then it kind of goes into a video and it shows the first campaign gameplay footage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure 343 has a couple things up their sleeve for this press conference. Like,
I'm excited.
Absolutely. I mean, when I seen the Halo 5 trailer, the teaser in 2013, saying that 13. Right? 2013. Like, in the beginning, you didn't think that was anything relevant to Halo. Like, the only time you seen, like, when everybody was freaking out was, like, when you seen Chief's hand. Like, that was it. Like,
with Cortana's chip, right.
Exactly. Like, that, when I first seen it, I'm like, what is this? This looks pretty cool. Honestly, if anything, I thought it was somewhat Star Wars related because of the cloak or, like, Obi-Wan or something. I don't know. It was
cloak in the sand?
Yeah, it was something. Like, it didn't seem Halo at all at first, and then you seen all that giant owl guardian, whatever you want to call it, you seen that. But it just makes me wonder what they could honestly do now that we know that Halo's 5 is out there. Like, it's gonna be interesting to see how they can kind of pull that in without making it look like that's what the next thing's gonna be on.
I think they would just miss a huge opportunity not to take advantage of all this hype that Hunt the Truth has built.
You know they're going to. There's no reason for them not to. I really hope now that they actually hack in that way. I really want that to happen now. I'm going to be so disappointed. I'm going to be so happy to be there, but I'm going to be so disappointed when it doesn't happen now.
No, well, when it's going to happen is, like, the internet's going to shut down. No one's going to see it. The only people they're going to be seeing is, like, the press briefing, and everybody's going to be freaking out. And then, like,
I would kill somebody if my feet dropped.
I'd be like, well, there's going to be an Xbox stream. There's going to be a Twitch stream. There's going to probably be the official E3 IGN stream or whatever they're partnering up with. I think they're doing YouTube or whatnot as well. So there'll be three different streams to pull from.
Yeah, I'll be watching through Xbox. I feel like I owe it to them. Even hopefully it doesn't crash, you know.
I will have to watch it through one of the websites, and it won't be Twitch because our firewall blocks Twitch, but it doesn't block YouTube or Netflix.
It won't. Yeah, but I don't think they'd be streaming through
Netflix. I took that day off work because I know I'm going to probably be pissing my pants periodically throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I was unable to get that day off.
Bring extra underwear to work.
I'm just gonna put a diaper on.
Yeah, I mean, E3 has been one of those things that I've experienced about every other way possible. Like, I went over to a friend's house when I didn't have work. Like, there was probably 16, 17 of us at his house, at my friend's house. We were watching on a 50-foot screen, and, like, we seen everything that was popping up. Like, there were the Assassin's Creed fans that were freaking out. There were the Call of Duty fans that were freaking out. Like, we all have our favorite games, but everyone loves Halo in the group. And when we all seen that, his parents were upstairs. We're freaking out. They all ran downstairs and they just rolled their eyes. And like, it's E3 is just awesome. Like, it's just a packed event that everybody's just waiting for. Everybody's just really hyped for it.
I think the hype level for Halo 5 here is going to be through the roof. I really do. And taking all the criticisms that 343 has gotten with the failed Master Chief Collection launch and everything wrong with Halo 4 and the campaign, the multiplayer and whatnot, if you pull back the curtains and really look at the effort that they're putting into Halo 5, and you appreciate everything that they've done with Hunt the Truth and everything that they've done. I mean, look at the beta that came out 10 months before the game is supposed to come out.
Yeah.
They're pulling out every single possible stop in trying to give this game the best opportunity it has. They really are.
Yeah.
And if anyone thinks otherwise, you're a dumbass.
Yeah. I mean, the beta was solid. The beta was one of the most solid things I've seen in a long time. And, like, especially that it was coming from 343 and it was Halo, I was that much more excited. Like, it was almost flawless as to how it was playing. Like, you were getting games, you were, you know, quickly. Like, it wasn't crashing. It wasn't, like, I didn't have the beta crash on me once. Which is awesome, like, compared to the Master Chief Collection. It didn't crash once. I mean, granted, it booted me out of to the main menu whenever I tried going in, but that was just a bug that was doing something with my NAT. Like, I don't even know what was going on with that. But, like, that really kind of put a new, like, it kind of opened up my eyes a little bit more to see what they are going for. Yeah, like, it was really awesome to see that's what we. That's less than what we're going to be getting in October. Like, there's a lot more, you know, it's just awesome. I mean, they're really putting quality into what they're doing now. And, like, not to say that they weren't doing it before, but, like, they're really making an initiative to show they are serious. I mean, like, they did the beta. They had Hunt the Truth, which is probably the most intense thing I've seen as, like, an audio series. Like, I've never seen anything that could be matched to this. Like, there's so much going on with that. You have the book. Like, there's so much stuff going on.
You should have listened to War of the Worlds back in the day.
War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Yeah, audio drama.
Yes, sir.
It was on the radio. That and The Shadow. Only The Shadow knows.
Yeah.
I made mention of that before. This brings back a lot of memories of, you know, the time that I spent listening to those old radio broadcasts, and it's bringing back good memories. I actually went digging the other day and found my old tapes of some of the old radio shows, like, you know, The Shadow and The Fuller Brushman. You know, it's really, really brings back those good memories and has got me actually wanting to dig around and find some more of them. Because I am extremely bored with broadcast radio. So, you know, I've been filling it with podcasts like Hunt the Truth and several others, or audiobooks. And, you know, this just gives me something else to listen to. But they've done it in a way that emulates the heyday of radio broadcasts. This, you know, before there was television, this is what you had. And this, I would rank this right up there with those broadcasts.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, another thing that really points that they're really going for quality is the amount of actors and actresses that are in this. Like, they have a lot of names in Hunt the Truth.
There's a lot of big popular ones.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a good sign, because that also means that people are interested in being involved with Halo. Because if these people didn't want to be in Halo, we wouldn't even be hearing them. So you look at whenever people go on to talk shows or late night shows or whatever, and occasionally they get asked what they play. Halo's a game that comes up
A lot?
A lot, yeah. Granted, you don't see the question asked too often, but one of those games that come up is Halo on a fairly consistent basis.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the top two games that everybody plays. I mean, you have two games that everybody plays, and I don't care what anybody says. It's either Call of Duty or it's Halo. It's one of the two. And I say that because everybody likes, there's always been the battle between the two. I mean, Destiny's out there now, and that's kind of changed things in that way. But like, it's usually one of the two games. You're like, oh, well, so what game do you play? Oh, I play Call of Duty. Why? You know, Halo's better, or Call of Duty's better than Halo. Like, it's always been that fight between the two games. So like, it's always been out there, and it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just excited for E3. That's all I know. Like, I'm excited for Halo 5 or E3, especially being there this time around is going to be nice.
I think so. I'm looking forward to it. Last year was the first year for me. Going back again this year is still going to be probably just as thrilling.
I think this year will be more epic than last year. And last year was.
It very well might be.
I mean, I think we look back at last year and now we're just like, screw you last year. But yeah. I truly believe this year could be the year that we're going to look back on and be like, oh man, that was like driving the drill that much deeper into the freaking here it comes.
Yeah.
Like the railroad tracks are almost complete.
Yeah.
Now yeah, let's drop this engine on this baby and go.
MCC was a big title, you know, especially for all the people that wanted to play Halo on next gen or current gen consoles. And it's like, that was awesome. But I've said it before. I was always wanting the next game. Like, I wanted Halo 5. Like, that's, I've always said it. It's like, Halo Master Chief Collection is awesome. I play it just about every day. But after playing the beta and after seeing what I've seen before, I want the Chief Collection so much more. Or I want Halo 5 so much more. Like, it has that competitive style now, which is looking awesome. Like, I mean, and I like what they've introduced to it so far. Like, I like the Spartan abilities. Granted, I don't agree with a couple of them. But I like the couple that I do like. And I love the maps. The maps that we've seen so far, they look incredible. Not only do they look incredible, they play very, very well. I mean, granted, two of them were remakes. Well, technically one, but the other remix map of it for Truth is a remake from Midship, but it flowed so well. Like, it was an awesome playing map.
Yeah. So I think we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up for the night. We've gone on a few tangents of our own, and I think this is good to do every once in a while, just to go loose on the format and just kind of talk about whatever. I'm really interested to see what's going to be happening with Sapient Sunrise and really see how the universe is going to play out with Hunt the Truth wrapping up. Yeah. I don't know when bio we're going to get your guest on. Maybe this next week or maybe afterwards. We're still trying to figure that out, but that's going to be something that would maybe help me understand a little bit more of how to actually think about it, because it's hard knowing everything that really happened, what the true story is in the universe, and getting this perspective and knowing how to really handle it.
Right.
We'll see how that works out. One last thing I wanted to mention is the folks over at Forge Hub have actually been working closely with 343 to work on that Sanctuary update for HCS that we mentioned last week. They just put up an article a couple of days ago on the 2nd on Waypoint, and then there's an associated article over on Forge Hub kind of detailing some of the new stuff. So for anyone that's really interested in the HCS, this is going to be happening for Online Cup 5. This is where the new map's going to be put into rotation, which is in a couple of days if you're listening to this now. They added some rocks over in the courtyard. Is that the right call out? No, it's over. It's just rocks. Never mind. They put some more rocks and rocks to cover the window down to the back ramp, so that line of sight's blocked off. And then they added a wall in the back on the open side where that waterfall goes over, so that the people just can't drop the balls off the back and whatnot. So there's been a few updates to it. And hopefully that'll make for a little bit better gameplay, a little bit better map flow, and people don't get spawn trapped and all that stuff. And we'll post a shout out to that article over on our side in the next few days. And if you're listening to this after the fact, then it's probably already been put up. But they've been working with 343, or 4chan has been working with 343 for a little while on this. And it's cool to see 343 actually using the community, and especially a place like 4chan to actually do this kind of testing. And that they're still really pushing forward with HCS, making sure that the experience is great for the pros, making sure that the gameplay feels solid and balanced and all that good stuff. Which, granted, I mean, we would like to see a little bit more involvement, but to just see that the community involvement just for this, it's a good sign, I think.
It's a step. It's a step
right
in the right direction.
Yeah. To see this community involvement, I think they're kind of slowly coming back around to that, especially after probably how bad they felt they got burned by the community after releasing the game.
Yeah.
So it does seem like 343 is starting to open back up. I mean, we were fortunate enough to have the interview with Dan Ayoub and JP Eaton regarding ODST and Relic Remake, Remnant. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, I highly suggest you do. It's episode 485. And then to see this community interaction with them actually working on forging maps and updating the maps to where it's making gameplay better for HCS and doing that with the community, that's also great to see as well. So it's seems like they're really starting to open back up to community involvement, which I think is going to be critical for Halo 5.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The best community examples that I can think of off the top of my head right now are Bungie with their Destiny community and kind of Gearbox with Borderlands. Because what Gearbox does is they really showcase a lot of the community talent. So they share cosplays, they share people doing stuff related to the Borderlands universe. They're really good about sharing around people's creation, where Bungie is really good at just being involved with their community. And I would like to see 343 start moving in that direction. Granted, I know it's Microsoft, and there's certain things where Mother Microsoft probably doesn't want certain things out there, but 343,
it's critical.
It's got to push the boundaries, and I hope Microsoft starts to let up on that a little bit and realize how much the community actually plays a part in the Halo experience. And I think 343 understands that. It's just a matter of what can they actually get away with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, we need to see a lot of stuff though. I mean, like, even during Halo 4, there was 1,000 times more community interaction than there is now. I mean, you had game nights, you had the Halo Twitter was just going off the wall every day. I mean, like, so the community manager sat down, BS Angel, Bravo, whoever at the time, sat down and literally looked through all the tweets and replied most of the time to everything that you said. Like, that's, you don't see that right now. And a lot of people were really, like, including me, it's kind of bummed out, you know, to see that they're reaching out to other people and they are seeing what you're seeing. Like, I'm sure they see what everybody's doing and talking about as of now. They have eyes everywhere. But to see that they are responding and they are looking into what you're saying, it feels good. Like, it really does.
Feels great. The fact that they're actually making an effort to interact with the community, do stuff with the community, get the community involved with official business is a great sign. And
yeah,
honestly, if you're in that camp of people that think 343 is trying to run Halo into the ground and trying to destroy Halo, I don't know what's wrong with you, but yeah, all signs are pointing in the complete opposite direction. We need to turn the community around, get the toxic out of the Halo community, and support 343. Because really, the way, and just because you're going to support Halo 3 doesn't mean you have to approve of everything that they've come out with already. Doesn't mean that you have to necessarily like the Master Chief Collection because of how broken it was, or like Halo 4 because of how bad the campaign or Spartan Ops was. It doesn't mean that. Supporting 343 is more of providing feedback in a way where you want a certain experience, or you're expecting a certain experience for Halo, and then affect a positive change to where they see that, yes, you're interested, and they can see the community's desires for where they want the game to go. Granted, in the end, it is their game. They're going to be doing what they want, but if they're receiving positive vibes for people to try something, then they're more likely to try it, and they're more likely not to hide behind trying to do something like implement Call of Duty-like things like they did for Halo 4.
Right. You got to look at it like this, too. They were fans themselves.
Most of them,
they were,
yes,
fans of the Halo game. They still are fans of the game. They're going to do what they want to do with the game. Yeah, sure. I mean, Microsoft's going to have a helping hand with that. Absolutely. But they're going to take in consideration of everybody's opinion on it. They're not going to sit there and be like, oh, well, screw what that guy has to say. We're going to go against that. We're not going to do that. Like, they look. They actually make an initiative to see what people are saying to get an idea of what people want. Like, that's how it is. Like, they're not going to sit there and completely disconnect from the community and make a game that no one wants. Like, that, they're not, no one's going to support it like that.
Right.
Like, it's just that no one will.
If you're out there trying to just spout negativity about 343 and you're saying that you care about Halo, you really don't. Because if you care about Halo, then you would be trying to put a view on things where you don't agree with certain things. You don't think that this is the way to do it. But you go to them and you say why. You say, these things are stupid because X, Y, and Z, and you should really be doing this. I hope you can look at doing it maybe this way. And granted, everybody is not going to be satisfied with everything. You just got to come to those terms as it is. Because in the end, it's their game. Every gamer has different tastes. So,
yeah,
don't expect perfection, because that's not what we're going to get. If you look at a game like Halo 1 in today's culture, compared to what it was back then, it was a phenomenon because there was nothing like it. But today, there's lots of things like it. And how do you think Halo 1 would survive if it launched today? It'd probably get a lot more criticisms today than it did back then. And I think part of that is because people feel entitled, they feel spoiled, they feel like they deserve a certain part of Halo to be a specific way, when that's not reality.
Well, I mean, that's what you just said right there is kind of nailing it too, is that people are spoiled. People are extremely spoiled because they get what they want 90% of the time with games, because people have that outcry of, oh, well, we're not going to sit there and support you, and they get what they want. Like, you can't give in to every single thing, which I've seen a couple games do, and the game's always crashed and burned because they're trying to basically contribute to both sides of something, and it didn't work out the way it's supposed to. I mean, Halo 4 is kind of the example of that. It was kind of going, trying to meet the middle of casual and competitive, and it didn't work. Like, it just didn't work out.
That's why new IPs seem to be the popular games that get highly reviewed. Sequels are not getting the reviews they used to.
No.
At all.
Nope.
Look at games like Last of Us. What else is... I don't know. I'm kind of drawing a blank, but...
It's really up to the community, though, to drive that attention for the game, to build the community to be there. Because, honestly, how did you hear about Halo? Most of the time is because a friend told you, hey, come check out this awesome game. And now there's so much toxicity within the Halo community where people don't really care to stick with Halo. They buy Halo, they play it for a little bit, and then they go on to the next big thing. It's our responsibility as a community to make that community a friendly place. And I mean, I hate to do this, but competitive community is a very toxic place. And unfortunately, they're the most vocal ones. And to a degree, they are entitled to certain things because Halo, as a competitive game, is something that should be garnered with respect. But in return, the pros should appreciate the effort that the developers are putting into it. And granted, Master Chief Collection, I would take it as an exception because of the giant effort. But you have to realize just how much effort went into making four and a half games on the one title, one platform. I mean, that's no easy feat. And then Halo 5, you're looking at a dedicated team. So Halo 5, you can automatically assume that it's going to be miles better than the Master Chief Collection was. And I'm not saying this to defend 343. I genuinely believe that the experience we'll get for Halo 5 is going to be a lot better than the Master Chief Collection. What we've seen with Hunt the Truth gives me great hopes and great aspirations for what we'll see from the campaign. And all in all, knowing the people personally there, just to see the how genuinely interested they are in making the game that they want to make and make the game that they want us to have fun experiencing. I mean, that's their end goal. Honestly, yeah. Like talking with them, knowing them on a personal level, they have that desire to make those games. So give them some credit whenever you see something comes out that maybe isn't quite the way you want it. Like, recognize that it might not be that the way you want it, but if you're going to say something that they can use to make it better. Don't just belittle them. Don't just berate them. Don't just spew negativity and hatred, because that doesn't do anybody any good.
Give constructive feedback, not the this beacon. Like, give them actual facts of what you would honestly want to see. You have people out there today that are spilling out, oh, well, this is horrible because of this. Okay, well, why is that? Well, I don't know. It's just bad. Like, people don't give out reasons. They, like, if you have something to say that's not exactly positive, that's the more negative on it,
right?
Give reasons for it. Don't sit there and just be, oh, well, this sucks because of this reason. You know, they're not going to take you seriously.
I would also throw one more challenge out there, and that is, if 343 wasn't working on Halo, would you be fine with not having another Halo game? Leaving off with Halo 3, if that was the last Halo game, or Halo 4, maybe that was the last Halo game. You have this company that is still trying, at least trying to produce new experiences in the Halo universe and give us something. They don't have to be doing that. If 343 wasn't around, we would not be playing Halo anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a simple fact. And then
another
thing is people complaining about not having Firefight in the Master Chief Collection. Hey, they gave us ODST for free for those who played between the dates. For free. Why are you complaining about free content? Yeah. Absolutely freaking free. No additional cost to you. Wasn't even in the plans to do it when the collection launched. Nor Remnant. And everybody got Remnant for free. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. People like to complain, though. They want more. There's always going to people be out there that, you know, oh, well, if they're going to give us one thing, they should give us the full experience. Why cut them out? Like, you have people that they don't see it for what it's worth. They see it as how they want to see it, and that's it.
Goes to the old adage, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And basically that means if somebody gives you something for free, you really don't have any room to complain about it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you know, in this case, if you don't like it, don't play it.
There you go.
If you really don't like the game that much that you tweet at 343, this game effing sucks, well, then quit playing it.
Right. Go focus your energy on doing something positive. If Halo pisses you off that much, then don't freaking play the game. Go do something else that makes you happy. Because honestly,
I understand that a lot of people are upset that Master Chief Collection did not launch well.
And that's fine. It's fine to be upset.
I am very upset that Master Chief Collection did not launch well. But I'm upset for the reason that it put a black mark on the Halo franchise. That upsets me more than the fact that it didn't work. I knew when they announced it that there were going to be problems. Had no idea they were going to be this big, but I expected to have issues with matchmaking, games not loading, stuff like that. Because nobody's ever done this. And 343 is truly innovating to pull this off. Could they have done a better job? Oh, hell yes. They could have. But the conditions that they were given did not make that possible. They are working as hard as they can to fix it. Anybody that wants to leave 343 feedback, leave them constructive feedback or keep your mouth shut, because just tell them the game sucks doesn't help anybody.
And it's more for those that continuously do it. It's understandable if you get a hot head every once in a while. That's just kind of human nature. But if you're constantly out there spewing hatred, there's just no point.
Mm-hmm. It gets old. You know, there's been several people I have unfollowed because every time 343 would put something up on Halo or up on Twitter, they would make some smart aleck comment about how, you know, Master Chief Collection hasn't been fixed yet. Or they would make the derogatory comment in, you know, they'd say in different ways that the game sucks. I'm like, I don't need to see that in my feed. I don't want to look at that every day. And it's really sad because, you know, the people that are saying this, that's not all they say. There's some other stuff that they talk about on Twitter. But when they just time after time after time make basically the same comment and don't offer any suggestions, it gets old.
Yep.
And
it gets old real quick.
You know, we are, you know, several months away from the launch. 343's got it. Yeah, they released a broke game. Drop it.
And you gotta
look at it. If you've got a suggestion, give it to them.
I put it like this. We've received more broke games from big franchises on this console than we've ever seen before. 343 is not the only one. You have Assassin's Creed Unity that came out that was incomplete. You had people that were missing faces. You were going into different areas of the map that weren't even finished yet. Like that, you have multiple different games that were negatively impacted because of just different things. It's next gen. You know, you're going to run into different problems because they don't have the same thing like they experienced before. It's bound to happen. They learn from their mistakes once. It's not going to happen again, especially with Halo 5, especially the fact that they have such a huge burden on them, especially from Xbox. The Xbox is not going to put up with the biggest franchise that they own going out like that. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, people are always saying the older games, you know, they launched with no problems. And for the most part, they're correct. A lot of the older games did not launch with problems, especially of these magnitudes. But they did. There are games that launched with problems. Halo 2 had problems. Problems enough that they released a huge patch for it.
Super bouncing.
I was, yeah.
Yep.
I was watching a video on YouTube a month ago about, it's like the 10 worst game breaking glitches of all time. Guess what? Every single one of those was on a cartridge. Every single one of the games was on a cartridge. And it was to the point, the worst one, if you happened to trigger this glitch, it hard locked your console and you were done.
It bricked it. Pretty much. We ain't getting nothing out of that.
You know, so there are games that get released in the video game industry that are broke when they launch. I think 343's biggest problem was just the size of the game that they were releasing. If they would have just focused on just a Halo 2A with, you know, an upgraded multiplayer, I think they would have done, you know, the game would have launched with very few problems. But in that same sentence, if they'd have done that, they would have had to tag the Halo 2 multiplayer onto Halo 4, like they did with Reach and Halo CE. But doing it this way, we have a standalone Halo 2 and Halo 2A matchmaking. That's one bonus.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're getting it fixed. It's going to be, unfortunately, it's a long process. And people, we just need to be patient. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a long time to be patient, and it's been frustrating. You know, I went through it, for those of you that, you know, come and join us on our Fraggin' Fridays, you know, there's been three of the last 5 weeks that I couldn't even host game night because nobody could connect to me.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it's not just MCC that you have problems with, too. I mean, it's Xbox Live. That's mm-hmm. having problems too. It's not just that. it's a mixture of both things, to be perfectly honest.
Ending that rant, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. We will be making a huge announcement this weekend, so please make sure you are tuning into that. And if you're listening to this downloaded, it's probably already happened, so please check the website. It's pertaining to RTX, and if you're going to be there, this is something you will want to pay very close attention to. Very close. We have Fraggin' Fridays coming up tomorrow with Mr. Godzilla T on Master Chief Collection. So that'll be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I will not be there. I'm actually going out to a concert.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Blue says she would be coming, though.
Oh, well, good.
So I'll send her in my stead.
I'll have... okay. I can take Blue over okay. you. That's fine.
Oh.
Whoa. Am I easily that replaceable? Wow. Okay.
Apparently. Jeez.
Maybe I should just have her host the show now.
Well, at least on game night. At least on game night.
Gotcha. So please make sure you check that out on the Master Chief Collection. That'll be happening. We also have our website and our social networks. You can check those out. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, which we're going to have another episode of Achieving Halo coming out pretty soon. Thanks to Mr. Godzilla T. Clock's ticking. Clock's ticking down to Halo 5.
Yes, it is. I am trying to squeeze out as much time as I can to work on them, but yeah. Man, holding down a full-time job and trying to do videos,
I feel ya.
It's tough.
I feel ya.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can help you out. Maybe we can run Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, and ODST. Who wants to volunteer for Halo 2?
I was actually thinking about doing Halo 2 co-op.
Ah, interesting. That make it easier. A lot easier, actually.
We have to discuss this off the air, though.
Right.
You know, yeah. I don't want to give away all my secrets just yet.
I see. Very nice. We're going to be having a... actually, I don't know if we're going to be doing this much anymore with all the conventions coming up. We were talking about doing a tournament. We'll see if that's still possible now. yeah, we'll talk about that. But please make sure you check out the announcement because it's going to be super, super important. And Bio, do you mind if I tell them?
Go for it.
So I'm not going to be the only one at E3. Bio is actually going to be going as well and be there in person. So we're going to have two of us on the show floor and during the Xbox press briefing to give us even more coverage. So hopefully my lack of coverage last year from just being completely ingrained in everything will actually be able to get some stuff done while we're there and get some stuff processed. So we're going there in full force. Bio and I will be there.
Yeah, so if you guys are there at E3, be sure to hit us up. I don't know how many of you actually got it. I know there's some locals that were going this year. I talked to a couple on Twitter. So if you guys are there or if you're around the area and would like to chat, just hit us up. This is going to be an exciting time. This is my first E3, and this has been something that it's been on a bucket list that I've wanted to do. It's one of the things I've wanted to do since I've watched the very first E3 I've ever seen, so it's exciting. And the fact that I'm going to be witnessing it for Halo 5 just makes it that much better. So I'll be doing a bunch of coverage with us on this.
Yes, it's going to be great. I'm so excited. So much Halo 5 stuff. Yeah, so much. So that's going to be happening.
And I'm so jealous.
We're going to be signing off for tonight. Please make sure you check out the podcast network that holds our sister podcasts, such as Guardian Radio, Chris Cast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. Again, I say this every time, but they are great podcasts to listen to. Very good quality. If you're looking for something to fill your work day or looking for something while you're driving to work or just need something to fill your ear holes, then I would highly suggest checking out these podcasts. They're great to listen to. Since I really haven't done this so well, I'm going to throw out some Halo podcasts out there, which will also be good ones to listen to. Drunken Halo. They're a little more laid back. It's kind of like a Halo lifestyle podcast. So if that's the kind of thing you're into, please go check them out. They're actually helping us with some of our RTX planning. And I would also recommend checking out Griffball Hub. They are focusing more on Griffball, but they produce a very good quality show. And they touch on some Halo news stuff. It's just a good light humored podcast to listen to. Last podcast I'll give a shout out to is Podcast Evolve, which focuses a little bit more on the lore side of things. If you want to dive a little bit more into that, which I know we've gotten a lot of requests here on diving into lore, and we'll be getting into New Blood after E3, as long as Haas and Bio have read it by then.
I'll be way done.
I got a 5-hour flight to fill.
There you go.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I can get a lot of it read or listened to by that time.
There you go.
It's 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's going to be it for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in live on Twitch. And for those who download, we appreciate every single one of you. And until next time, keep on fragging.